Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime, and guess what? Yes, we are in the midst of the Memorial Day weekend, so while now you're trying to figure out exactly how many places you're going to hit before Memorial Day is done with, let me give you one thing to think about as you motor about the desert Southwest. The St. George Annual Festival, the St. George Church Annual Festival, isn't happening this weekend. It's next weekend. And joining me right now, Brian Haddad and Mike Cifuentes, a subdeacon to St. George Church. Welcome, gentlemen, back to El Paso Primetime.
Dennis, thank you so much. And thank you, Tep, for being able to host us. And you always open up your studio for us. And we're honored to be here on behalf of St. George. And I want to welcome all the listeners out there. Thank you. You have many of you have been to this festival, which we generally have in May, and we call it the May Festival. But just like, Christmas in July, we decided to change for many reasons, as we were talking about. There's so many events that are out there in May, and we decided to go ahead and move this to the first weekend in June. And it's going to be incredible. It's the same wonderful thing that many of you have experienced out there. Truly a cultural event that is just incredible. So it is June the 4th and 5th, Saturday from noon till 10 p.m. and from noon till 8 p.m. We encourage everybody to go there on Saturday so they can come back and enjoy it on Sunday.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. And Dennis, thank you for inviting us. It's always a pleasure to come and see you. And also give us an opportunity to talk about our festival here in the West.
Let's first talk about the history of St. George Church. It's a very important, iconic church in El Paso. And I think a lot of our listeners, especially the ones who barely moved here over the last couple of years, I don't think they understand the magnitude of what the congregation, what the church means to El Paso in history and in culture and in community.
Dennis, the Orthodoxy is fairly new to America. Of course, it was from the time of the apostles when the church was established in Antioch. As a result, you have the Antiochian church. It remained true to the teachings, and not to turn it into that type of a program, but that's the history of it. It came to America through Alaska in the late 1800s. In El Paso, it, of course, a lot of immigrants came in after World War I, before World War I, from Syria and the Middle East, the Christians from the Middle East. They did not have a place of worship. And so they got together and they would have visiting priests. And where would they go? We would go to other churches, other places, and establish our church just for that timely, temporary quarters. We have a rich history with a particular church in St. Clements. Before we bought our church at the old site at 905 Rio Grande.
Okay.
And St. Clements saw many of our community friends over there, so they've invited us to go ahead and use their facility and get our priests to go ahead and perform until they told us that a particular church was coming up for sale just across the street from it. And that was the Westminster Presbyterian Church on Rio Grande. And we were there for many, 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 many years. So that's where it established. And we thank all the churches and the community of El Paso for supporting that. But the St. George established from that period of time and going forth. So we stayed at that particular location for a long period of time until about 11 years ago when we purchased more land at a more central, convenient, and more accommodating area. And we have the beautiful church that you know and was built as a Byzantine architecture. And that's really something that the community has evolved. There's nothing like that in the Southwest. And from an architectural standpoint, other than a religious edifice, it's just absolutely beautiful. And for those who are interested in the arts, Also, you have the beautiful iconography, mm-hmm. which Subdeacon Michael will talk about, and it's absolutely incredible, and the art form from that. So it goes back, and we've had much support from the community for our programs and different things, and it's been, we believe, an icon here in El Paso.
You know, Dennis, what's interesting, to go back to what Brian was saying, is that the Middle Eastern Christian culture here in El Paso is recent, but yet it's very old. And what is of interest is that, as Brian mentioned, immigrants from what used to be called Greater Syria, which encompassed Syria, Lebanon, the Holy Land, and Jordan, didn't start immigrating to the United States until the late 1800s. And the reason for that was because of the economical situation in the Middle East. Plus, in addition to that, everyone was under the Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire. And if you were not Muslim, it was very difficult. You know, you lived a very hard hardship. And so what ended up happening, many Christians ended up coming to the United States. Immigration laws also changed. Mm-hmm. And so what ended up happening, many immigrants came to the United States because the doors closed shortly before World War II and then again after World War II. And so many came through Mexico. So the interesting thing is that El Paso is known as the little Ellis Island of the West, of the South. And so many immigrants of Middle Eastern descent also came from Mexico, Central America, and so forth. And so, as Brian mentioned, when they finally came here to El Paso, whether they were from Greater Syria and so forth, they brought with them their religion. And so they wanted to be able to practice their religion, because basically that was what was one of the most important things for them, was they came to this country for freedom, mm-hmm. but also to be able to practice their religion. And so when we were able to purchase the location, the church, that gave them a place to be able to worship without any fear. And that was very important. And we say this is our 51st
annual
mm-hmm. dinner. And what's interesting is that the ladies of the church began the dinner. And they actually were cooking. And people remember we started in the basement of the church, you know. And mm-hmm. Eventually we built an annex to the church, and we had tables. And so, again, we were able to accommodate more people. And it became a festival of Middle Eastern food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once we moved to our new site at 120 North Festival, we expanded it for us to be able to serve more food a la carte. And we opened the doors to the El Paso community, Juarez and Las Cruces, to come and enjoy a taste of the East, and also be able to enjoy music and also enjoy folklore dancing.
It's a wonderful place to get really just immersed in a culture of food and music and art, architecture, religion, camaraderie. It's everything.
It's a mixture of everything,
mm-hmm.
and one of the beauties of the church, as Brian had mentioned earlier, is that with the new building of our church 11 years ago, we wanted to make sure that it was in the Byzantine style, and it is. I mean, if anyone's gone to Istanbul,
mm-hmm.
and they visit the Hagia Sophia, our church is a miniature plan of that. And so you see the dome and the architecture, and that is true Byzantine style. And so anyone who hasn't had an opportunity to go to Russia or to Greece and go inside a church and see all the artwork, the icons that are we say written, not painted, that are written on the walls, come to St. George, come to the festival, and see the beautiful icons that we have in the ceilings, on the walls, and also see the wooden, what we call the iconostasis, which separates the nave from the altar area, Again, that's covered with beautiful icons. And the beauty about Byzantine art is that they're written in a certain style. And the media that is used is tempera, which is a mixture of egg yolk mm-hmm. with finely ground precious stone. And that is what the iconographer uses to paint the icons and then embellishes it with a gold leaf. So anybody who wants to come and see what Byzantine art is, this is an opportunity for them to come and enjoy the art and the architecture. And I also provide the tours. And in the tours, we talk about a little bit about the Orthodox faith mm-hmm. because all of this, the architecture, the art, has very importance in our religious practice. And so I share that information with the visitors.
You know, Dennis, just a quick point about the iconography and the art form. Today's art is pretty much using acrylic. Michelangelo, the great, of course, everybody knows Michelangelo. That's what he used to use. He was the egg tempera, and it lasted for thousands of years. You know, mm-hmm. it's incredible. But I want to circle back to the fun festival. This history is absolutely beautiful. You can never finish with it.
Right.
But I want the audience to experience what they're going to see out there.
Oh, absolutely.
What they're going to see there. And it's just so if you haven't been there, I'm going to give you a kind of a painting. We have the church. People may be concerned, oh, my goodness, it's June. It's going to be hot, all that. We have a beautiful subbed hall that many people have rented for their weddings, quinceañeras, for different events, for company venues, totally it's refrigerated. It got a full kitchen. That's where we do pretty much all our cooking. You have that. It can seat 500 people that are going and coming and all that. And then we have two tents. One of them is a 6,000 square foot tent, which is highlighted in a 30-second video. That's where the band, and you have tables where you can eat and see the music and the different dances and the dabki, that's the line dancing where you see in Greek and Hebrew and different in our culture, all the different everybody has their own form of dancing. And this goes back thousands of years ago. They have different styles. Then you have the belly dancing, which itself is an art form. And a lot of people like it. It's just enjoyable. Then you have another tent, a huge tent with different foods. So there's foods all over the place, different foods. And some of the foods, we can talk about that.
Oh, yeah,
but
please.
There are some points. All the foods. These ladies carry recipes from their great-great-grandma from historical times, hundreds and thousands of years. And you've heard of the Middle Eastern diet. It's always one of the best things, but it's flavorful. It's delicious. And we have different foods that you can get from $8 to $20. And the $20 is a full plate that'll feed two people.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about, you know, the different foods, many people, we have a huge venue of foods, you know, beginning to kind of trying to think where you want to begin. Is incredible. But I'll begin with the main plate that has been our traditional where we started with it. And I want to give credit. I want to go back to what we were talking about, how this got established. The ladies and the men, always, God bless them all. There was a gentleman by Dale Nasser and Pete Risk. May their memories be eternal. They're incredible people that with the great cooks and so forth, trying to get support our programs, they started this particular festival. We used to meet early in the days back at McKelligan Canyon. And so it took a full loop from there to Rio Grande to here. So talking about the foods, the big plate is a huge plate. And that's a $20 plate, but let mm-hmm. me tell you what it's made of. The meat pies, if you haven't had our meat pies, they're not just your regular meat pies. They're cooked fresh and during the festival. They're cooked fresh, so you're going to get it fresh. You have a rice pilaf that is with rendered butter. If you don't know what the rendered butter, many of our listeners, rendered butter, you get all the butter that you buy at the store and you put it in a big pot and you boil it until all the sediments, you get it clarified. It's called clarified butter. So
right.
We use the top-notch qualities of that.
So
that's the bed of rice that it's on. Many people come in just say, can I just have the rice? That's so good. Then they have a stew that is with green beans mm-hmm. and meat. We buy our own meats. We buy quality meats. We buy quality products, and it's under strict supervision and cooking, cleanliness, and everything that goes along with every person who wants to eat wants to see that.
Right,
and it's delicious. So it's put on that bed of rice. So you've got the meat pie, the rice. You've got the kibbeh, which is one of the – it's about a square – you can't call it meatloaf. You can't even begin to call it meatloaf. You can't call it hamburger. It is cracked wheat, almost 100% as you can, beef that is mixed mm-hmm. together and with spices and made in two layers with stuffing on the inside, and it's baked with the clarified butter, and it's absolutely terrific.
Yep. Yep. I like to call it the protein-laden Rice Krispie because it looks like a Rice Krispie, but it's not that wheat and the beef. Oh, my goodness.
It's great. If you want to go put in a piece of bread and just chomp on it, you'll like it. Then you have the tomato and cucumber. It's a Mediterranean salad with the mint and lemon and juice and olive oil. It's absolutely terrific. That is one dish along with a baklava, a drink, a salad, and it's a lot of food. And most people, can't seem to finish it, or they share it, what have you. That's one. That's our most expensive one, but it's worth everything that you're paying for. And you don't have to worry about tips. then you've got the tabbouleh. Everybody knows tabbouleh. We've got the hummus. By the way, hummus is on there also. Ooh. Hummus and the bread. And so it's absolutely. We have the charbroiled chicken. And just to let you know, we get the breast of chicken that is just absolutely clean. It's everything else. And it is grilled in shish kebab form. Mm. Then we have the lamb. Beautiful chunks of succulent lamb
mm-hmm.
that's seasoned and on charcoal again. And just I encourage all the listeners and all the festival goers, when you're going to go there, if your partner is kind of dragging behind, eat it hot.
Yep.
Wherever it is, there's lots of places. So it just goes on and on and on. The falafel, lamb kebabs, the fatayer, the cabbage rolls, it just goes on and on. And then the one thing, and I want to turn it back to your questions, we have a bake table, the likes that most people have not seen, unless you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's many different Middle Eastern pastries with baklava. You're familiar with baklava.
Oh, absolutely.
But I was with the ladies and the men. We were doing the simbosik. Simbosik is a crescent dough with the nuts and the different things, and just to see all the different steps people of making that, people would be flabbergasted at how much value you get, and to kind of know the history of what it takes to go ahead and do this. So those are all going to be sold, and just on and on, lots of pastries and bakeries. So, and then we have different booths for different things, and so I don't want to hog the mic. But,
No! Don't you worry about it. Listen,
this is. I just want to talk about the excitement of it. This is not even that's the food that hasn't even begun about the festivities and the dancing and how the people just get in there. They love the music that they want to join in and learn the dances. It's a community effort on our church and what we do. The spirit that it's made with. It's made with the love that we have in our own home, that if you come to our home, we embrace you. We open our arms to you. And that's the feeling that we hope that every person leaves with that feeling.
I can tell you from personal experience, you betcha you get that feeling. The entertainment is always, always top-notch. The last time I was there was maybe 2 years ago, and your congregation brought a special guest from the Middle East in to play on a Sunday. I forget who that was, but they were phenomenal.
Oh, all these are professional. They're originally from the Middle East, and they're here, and they formed their art, and they travel around different countries,
mm-hmm.
and tremendous, tremendous musicians that normally, if they had that venue, you would pay $60 at least, $60 to $100 a seat to go see them somewhere else. This is you're going to be seeing them. We pay a huge amount of money to be able to bring them. So what is required for somebody to come in? Do I need, what do I need to come in and enjoy that that event?
Right.
Bring a great appetite, bring a feeling of just coming in, just comfort, and you can come in with a $3. You can basically, there's an admission of $3. If veterans, retired veterans with their IDs come in free, we invite all of Fort Bliss. Otherwise, it's $3. Now, you can skip the $3 entry, and you can buy a food ticket for $20.
Uh-huh.
And what you do, it gets changed for $20, and you get the value of the entire $20 and buy an $8 hero sandwich. It's the gyros. Gyros, you say hero.
Right.
Gyros plate, that's, for example, $8.
Uh-huh.
You can't beat that and see just all that we've talked about. So you've got that. You've got the shish kebab plates for $10. The chicken and or the lamb or so much. So you can pay cash. You run out of money. You want to go ahead and do that. You can pay cash. We got credit cards. It's very easy to come in. Call us. There's several points of where can I get my tickets, for example.
Right.
The church office is 584-9100. The Summit Hall is 584-9100, 584-9100, 584-9200, or they can be picked up at one of the business locations a lot of people know, and they've picked them up before at the collectibles on the east side on Loma Land.
Oh, yeah.
At the Loma Land office, and that address is 1530 Loma Land, and they're generally open from 9:30, I think, till about 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4700 North Mesa, other than the church office. My phone number, and I'm happy to receive any calls, and we'll make sure that we get you tickets, 915-478-2570. 915-478-2570. Maybe we'll repeat these in the programs. It doesn't matter what part of the city you're in. You want tickets, we'll find a way to we get together. They can also be bought online. So that's pretty much it for me.
And also, Dennis, just to let you know, if they keep an eye out on the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
We have a little sticker that's on the front page of the newspaper that appears, I guess, what, every other week? Or
It appears four times in the El Paso Times. There's a sticker that you see on the front page,
uh-huh.
and you peel it, and that highlights the festival. It comes in four times before the festival, and you can bring one of those stickers and you get in free if you don't want to buy the ticket.
okay.
And then buy whatever you want.
Sure.
So that's great. So
okay.
And children under 9, free.
Okay.
And so we welcome the entire community, but I guarantee you, if you haven't been there, you want to come so that way you'll never miss it again. You'll know what El Paso is talking about. We have thousands. Even though we have thousands of people that annually attend, it seems to be a well-kept secret. I never knew about this, and I wish I could have, somebody would have told me.
And you know what the amazing thing is?
What's that?
With the thousands and thousands that show up, it never feels like you're overwhelmed, number one. Two, it feels so friendly that, hey, listen, the more the merrier. And then the last thing, parking is so easy in and around your whole region. You have your own parking lot. You go up and down festival. There are places to park. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful venue.
And, the city, we thank the city of El Paso working with us. We get permits for everything we do. And we get the signs, the no parking signs down in festival. And they're able to go ahead and do this. We have handicapped parking, but it's, gets used very, very quickly. So I
sure.
recommend to anyone out there that's going to be coming in to have your young driver bring the whole crew out there and put you in the front door, and then they can go park, even though the parking is not far. If you don't want to take sort of a walk, that's fine. You can do that. That would be great. So you can experience refrigerated air. We have big grounds that you like you said, you're not overwhelmed. It's not, you're not shoulder to shoulder with everyone, but it's a great atmosphere. We would just the entire El Paso to experience what you've experienced, Dennis.
It is a phenomenal time, and I heartily endorse people who have never been to a festival like this to come out and just enjoy. It's something like you've never felt anywhere. I went to a festival in Tucson once upon a time, and it was a smaller festival. And, of course, when it's smaller and people are starting out, of course, it's going to have its little problems, so to speak. But I'll tell you, the one thing that I remember thinking about when I was in Tucson at that festival was wanting to come back to this festival.
That's good news.
You know, thank God we've had a lot of cooperation from a lot of our folks who, and we have a lot of volunteers who come and help.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've developed a formula to get it. I mean, it takes a lot of work, you can imagine, to kind of prepare for this, and we prepared early and we do it. And thank you for mentioning that. It's great. But I want to go back to one point that
sure.
I just want to make sure that the audience, you know, on the church accept, you know, from that. And we're not, we don't want everybody to think that's just only Middle Eastern church. It is not. We have from Middle Easterners, from all cultures, Russians, from the Eastern religions, from Hispanics, Anglos, from converts that who've embraced that. So we're not trying to proselyte. That's not our intention. I just didn't want to give the intention that just a quote unquote Middle Eastern church. It is a Antiochian Christian church for everything that it stands for,
right.
And welcomes every person of color and or absolutely from background. So I just wanted to mention that.
Well, let's go ahead and mention the online way of picking up tickets. I know people have, like, smartphones and stuff. So.
Sure, sure. It's www.feastofthemiddleeast.com. And you can do that, and or you can call our number, 584-9200. Our hall manager, John Mark Saloom, set it up. And it's very easy to accommodate you with that. So wherever you're at, we'll make sure. You want to go, we want to see you there, and we'll make sure you get in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of minutes left to in the show, so any final words?
I think one of the last things is that was mentioned is that we have a folk dance group, and the folk dance group is made up of our young people, and every year they're looking forward to practicing and putting out a good show. And so if you want to come and see the young kids doing the Tupki dances, as Brian said, it's a line dance, come see them. And then ultimately we will pull everybody from the audience to come out and join the line dance and just have a good, good time.
Absolutely. It's El Paso. If you haven't been there, I promise you, you will never regret it. Come and experience it. And come and don't come and eat and run. Go see the festivities and all the different things. Take your time and enjoy it. And I just want to invite everyone out there to enjoy a rich cultural event that encompasses a really mouth-watering Mediterranean feast. All the food is homemade style and prepared with loving hands. If you would experience it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And really a heartfelt welcome to everyone out there. Be sure to see the beautiful church. There's tours, guided tours, and it just goes back over 2,000 years of this type of architecture and iconography. And just take pleasure in the sounds of what's out there, in the music and the people and everything else. It's a welcoming. I hope everyone will enjoy it as much as we enjoy making it for you. And we just want to thank you, Dennis, for this opportunity. Thank you, Tip. And we look forward to everybody. My number is 915-478-2570. Michael?
And my cell number is 309-1511.
All of this information will be up on our website, all of the phone numbers, all of the directions to get there. And we'll even include the bus lines because you'll have Brio. You'll have the 14 and the 15. Yes, the 14 will leave you off on the other side of Mesa, but you have the 14, you have the 15. And if you're coming from the west side, I believe, you also have the 13 and the 20. That'll leave you off really relatively close to right. be able to go.
Corner of Mesa and Festival.
Mm-hmm. Great place to be.
Great. El Paso, we'll see you there.
Brian, Dennis, Mike, we'll thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.